Good morning, Yorkston. How are you doing? That's awesome. Thanks for the beautiful service so far. It was great having the child dedications. Robbie, where's Robbie? Oh my goodness, that song was kind of like soul touching. I needed this coffee break just to put myself together, you know? And so I'm glad that I'm here this morning. It's a privilege just to share the word of God with you. I'm from Brazil. That's why you're going to have like this weird accent here. So Brazilians, where are you? Okay. Pastor Jeff just asked me just to say something in Portuguese. So I'm just going to say this. É nóis na fita. Don't ask me to translate this. Okay, I have no clue. You ask them. They are much better in English than me. So if you are new here to this church or new to Jesus, welcome to our 12 weeks series, Freedom, the Joy of a Heart Set Free by Jesus. So we've been exploring the 12 steps as outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm just going to refer to this as AA from now on, highlighting one principle each week as we delve deep into scripture and we depend on the Holy Spirit as we go. So there's a reason behind the use of this metaphor, steps. So John Ortberg, in his book, Steps, he kind of like says that this is intended to serve kind of like a guide to action, and that they are numbered because they are meant to be taken in order. So it's only when we recognize our powerlessness that we are ready to surrender to God. It's only after we've taken inventory of our journey that then we can confess to one another and make amends to those we've hurt. So it is one step at a time. And today is step three. So in step one, we admitted that we are powerless, that our lives have become unmanageable. And this is the same as to say that we realize the problem and that we can't solve it. We can't save ourselves. And this demands lots of honesty and a moment of truth, you know. In step two, we came to believe that God is the only one who can restore us to sanity. And once you recognize who we are, step one, and who God is, step two, then we can move on to step three. And let's see how AA understands this step. So we have step three there. We made a decision to turn our lives, our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So here we might stumble upon the phrase God as we understood him. We need to remember that AA is a program deeply rooted in the story of redemption that we find in the scripture, but later on it was adapted just to include all sorts of people who are not yet like swimming in the waters of the Christian faith. So that's why it's phrased this way. So, but what is God like in the scriptures? So the answer is Jesus. So Colossians 1:15 says the Son is the image of the invisible God. And Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So let's just tweak a little bit then this step three to specify what we're talking about when we say God. So we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we have come to know him in Jesus. So turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. That's surrender. Understood not as a passive posture, but as an active motion of the soul towards God. And so here in step one, I admit that I can't. In step two, I recognize that God can. And step three represents kind of like my answer, my response to this reality check. But we need to ask, what does this response look like? There are several passages from Scripture that offer a good answer to this question, but I decided to pick up Luke 5 because it explores the struggles of the soul involved in this response. What surrender is not and what it is. So in this passage, Jesus approaches a fisherman called Peter and calls him to become one of his disciples. And so I invite you just to follow along as I read Luke 5, chapter 5, verses 1 to verse 11. If you want just to follow along on the screen or your Bible, feel free. So, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and that is the Sea of Galilee, so the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of these boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answers, "Master, we've all worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this is the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. When Jesus is calling his first disciples, and the account in Matthew and Mark, these two evangelists, are very brief at this point. There we find Simon Peter, and we have like this double name, Simon Peter. Sometimes he's called Simon, as it happens at the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus. But later on, the main name is going to be like Peter. So we have like Peter here with his brother in Matthew and Mark. It is just this: Peter is with his brother Andrew, some friends are there fishing in the Sea of Galilee. Then Jesus shows up as they are casting their nets and calls them to become his disciples. And you know very well how he did it. He just said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And the evangelists, they say that they left their nets at once and followed him. That is surrender. And we are given the impression from Matthew and Mark that there was no reticence, there is no reserve, no wrestling with Jesus' call before this decision, that the response was immediate. Until we come across Luke's account on the same situation. And Peter is put on the spot. Notice that in Luke 5, his brother is not even mentioned. And James and John, they are just introduced as Simon's partners. It's about Peter, a human like you and me, wavering as he takes baby steps until he finally surrenders to Jesus. And here we find Peter. He's a fisherman. Catching some fish is all he's supposed to be good at. That's what fishermen, they do. And however, he spent all night fishing and got nothing, zero. It's like me, I was with my kids once, 1-2 hours trying to fish something. Paulo got like some fishes. I just got one very small one. It was slippery, you know, and I tried to catch the poor guy and it slipped. Went back to the lake and I lost him. So, and here we have like Peter, kind of like the same, not 1 or 2 hours, but kind of like a whole night. Got in nothing. And so Peter is empty-handed. The boat is as clean as it first left the shore the day before. And the boat is only good for one thing. It's serving as a floating pulpit from which Jesus is teaching the word of God to the multitude. And Peter is on the boat with Jesus. And I wonder how much attention he was paying to the message, because he was weary, he was frustrated, he was disappointed. And so after having spoken to the multitudes, Jesus just turned to Peter. And then Jesus starts to address his frustrations with a challenge. Simon, go out there where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. To which Simon replies, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. So let's pause here for a bit. Because Peter is admitting here that his skills, his attempts, his strategies so far have gotten him nothing. I would say he's not actually a very successful fisherman as far as we know from this story. I like the way the series The Chosen imagines the backdrop of this story. It's not in the Bible. It's kind of like imagination, but they are kind of like try to explain what's happening right now with Peter. But there in this episode from The Chosen, Peter he wants to do things his way. For outsiders, Peter is kind of like a guy who is self-confident, outgoing, and knows how to throw a party. But within the inner circle of friends, they know Peter better. He promises too much and delivers too little. He has a huge debt and is risking being put in jail, and Peter's in panic. He knows he's losing control of the situation, that his ways are not working. He still, you know, he doesn't know to do things differently. He's stubborn, insisting on doing the same things just to get the same results. He thinks he can, until he can't. All night, no fish. And I suppose thoughts like, you failed again, good for nothing, are crossing his mind. And then Jesus comes and challenges him to try it again. And we have this Peter's initial reaction. We have worked so hard all night. You know, this sounds to me like, hey, Jesus, wait a minute. I am the fisherman. You are the carpenter. You know, I know what I'm doing. I've tried everything. It didn't work, so why try it again? So I like Peter. Here's my favorite gospel character. He's human, all too human. And Peter's stories in the gospels unveil what is inside of our hearts, what is under the skin. We may be different from him, but at the same time, we're so much like him. Peter's name, or at least Peter's first name, is Simon. And you know, Simon means the one who hears. And Jesus says, let down the nets for a catch. Okay, Simon, he listens. But he's hesitant. And I wonder why. I wonder why, because Jesus Christ is not new to him. If you go back a few verses in chapter 4, verse 38 to 39, in my Bible, it's kind of like one page back. You are going to find this interesting story. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. So see, from this story, what we can see is that Peter had experienced a few days before the power of Jesus Christ firsthand. Jesus had healed his mother-in-law using only his words. He just spoke, and then the fever was gone, miraculously. But Peter here in Luke 5, this one page, you know, a few verses later, he is here. He's still thinking inside the box of what is possible, you know? He could have thought outside the box. Because this is Jesus, come on! What is impossible with us, it is possible with Jesus. He is the Son of God. And still, Peter is not convinced that Jesus' ways are better than his. He listens, but he doesn't believe. He obeys, but his heart still resists. Does that sound like you? Like me? You bet. We see miracles happening around us. We have seen so many lives being transformed by Jesus. But when Jesus say, hey you, let down your nets. Usually we reply, me? Let down my nets? Are you serious, Jesus? That reminds me of the father in the Gospels who asked Jesus to set his son free. Jesus said to him, everything is possible for one who believes. And then the father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Jesus, I want to surrender. I know I must take this step. Help me with my reservations. You know, last week we had like Tim preaching at Walnut Grove, and I had to confess that Tim got me from the very beginning, because as he was sharing his experience, I could see myself in his words. How much sometimes I try just to cling to control. I try to control my family. I try to make my kids just to do what I think it is the right thing to do. And they have to obey at all costs, you know. Because I am the father. I am the boss, you know, of the family. And so I need to make sure everything is all right. And and then another day, one of my kids calls me. Actually, I called him. And I was kind of like trying to, again, you know, give him like a sermon, saying to him, hey, you messed up, but just something's right. And he was embarrassed, you know, we're walking. And then we sat down, kind of like very, very spiritual, trying to pray with him. And then he said, come, just a little bit, Dad. You said to me the things that you mess up. It's my turn right now. I'm just going to tell you how you mess up as a father sometimes. And it was a very hard conversation, my friend. He just started to share with me how much he's hurt when I try just to control him and try to make things my way. And only after that conversation I could like recognize that the more I try to control my kids, the more I try to control my family, the more I'm kind of losing them. They're getting distant from my heart. And I need to recognize that I'm hurting my family. And that's the irony of bringing you this message, because God knows that surrender is the thing that I'm struggling most with right now. And when Jeff just asked me, could you preach on at Yorkson? And I asked, okay, which one? Step 3, surrender. And I said to the Lord, okay, here we go. Surrender. Could be something else. Step 4, 5, 6, 10. But no, it's step 3, surrender. And you know, like Peter, I'm struggling. Like Peter, I'm hesitating. Lord, I know what I'm doing. And then afterwards, yet I know it's not working. Lord, take control of my life. I surrender. In the next second, I find myself back in the driver's seat, you know. Lord, I want to trust you. And then, Lord, sorry, I just can't. Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. That is faith with reservations. And we need to be honest. Sometimes it's all we can truly offer. But the good news is that oftentimes it is all that Jesus needs to do his work in me and in you, in us. So Peter listens and obeys. He lets down the nets. And what happens next sounds like a fishing tale, you know. To his surprise, a school of fish is caught. The boat is trembling. The nets are so full that they begin to break. Peter's associates come to help him. Two boats are not enough for such a large number of fish. Jesus did it again. A miracle had happened. And Peter is amazed. He falls on his knees. A few days ago, I just asked a friend who graduated from AA many years ago, hey, what image comes to your mind when you think of someone surrendering? When you hear the word surrender, what comes to your mind? And he said to me, what comes to mind after going through AA, it is this kind of like a warrior who lost a battle, and he kind of like dropped his weapons, and he falls on his knees, and he's kind of there waiting to see what the winner will do to him. So someone on their knees. Perhaps this is the typical image when we think of someone surrendering. And the passage says that when Simon Peter saw the miraculous catch of fish, what we read from Luke chapter 5, verse 8 is this: he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Is that surrender? Well, according to step 3, it is not. Step 3 says that go away from me is the opposite of surrender. And I see here the beauty and the wisdom in how AA has framed this step. Because let's read it again, how AA has defined what surrender entails. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. So surrender, according to step 3, is a move towards God, not away from him. But how do we find Peter here? He is on his knees, but he's stuck on the first two steps. Step 1, who am I? I am a sinner. I can do it. Step 2, who is Jesus? He is the Lord. He can do it. And yet his response is, go away from me. Not exactly the surrender we've been expecting. Have mercy on me, a sinner, would be a much better response, you know? That's what we see in the parable of the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, who humbly recognizes he can't save himself, only God can. And that's the passage Pastor Matthew is preaching at Walnut Grove today. It's still, we have to admit, go away from me is another response. And unfortunately, a very common one. Peter's reaction is a warning to us. We may have admitted that we are powerless. We may have recognized that only Jesus can do what we can't. However, for whatever reason, we may not yet be willing to give in to his care. And so we're faced here with an important question. What holds you back from taking this step of faith, from surrendering your will and life to the care of God? Maybe it is fear. Fear of losing control as myself. Maybe it's fear of the future, what the future will bring. Maybe it is pride, the sense that you can still do it. Things are not that bad at all. Sometimes those who go through the AA, this is the main problem. Things start to get a little better, and they start to believe, hey, from now on, I can do it. And they just give up the program. Perhaps this is shame. If others find out what I did, perhaps it's hurt. You don't know what others did to me. Perhaps even someone who is very close to you, what this person is going to think of me. Perhaps it's resentment, trauma, a sense of I am not worthy. And all these things are like shields we use to protect ourselves from other disappointments. The problem is that they can get in our way to God. But the gospel, my friends, is not about the distance between us and God. It is about Jesus, who came to bridge this gap, to heal our wounds, to forgive our sins, and to set us free. And we are invited today to drop our shields and surrender to His care. So I want to remind all of you that there's like a prayer team available for you after right now or after a message to pray for you. Maybe you can recognize what is kind of like standing on the way to Jesus. Maybe you have some concerns that is kind of like right now taking control over your heart. You can count on the prayer team just to pray for you. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows what Peter's shield is, what is holding him back. And Luke 5:10 says the following. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you," singular, meaning Peter, it's very personal, "you will fish for people." There is no reason to fear, Jesus says to Peter. You know what? I have a plan for you. No reason to fear. From now on, you will fish for people. It's Luke's counterpart to Matthew's, "I will make you fishers of people." And when we lay one, you will be fishing for people. Beside the other, "I will make you," Jesus. "I will make you fishers of people." We perceive that Jesus is not talking about what Peter will do, but what kind of person Peter will become. It is an assurance that Jesus has a plan for Peter to turn him into someone else he's currently not. But first, he has to say no to his fears and say yes to Jesus. And to be more precise, it is not the surrender of one area of life that we're talking about here. It is a surrender of the whole self. What Jesus is asking of Peter is complete surrender. There is no compromise, no half measures. C.S. Lewis once said, "Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good." And the big book of AA also uses the same language when it explains what step 3 means. The big book says the following. "We thought we could find an easier and softer way, but it could not. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked His protection and care with complete abandon." The complete abandonment of the self to accept the way of Jesus is at the heart of what Jesus requires of His disciples. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. "Then He said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross,'" which is a symbol of death, "'take up their crosses daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it.'" That's surrender. And that's the kind of surrender Peter now displays in Luke chapter 5, verse 11. Pay attention. "So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." What is interesting in this story is that surrender is not expressed when Peter falls at Jesus' feet, but when he gets up, turns his back on his previous life, and accepts Jesus' plans for him. And others will join Peter in this decision, reminding us that this journey is not a solo mission. We have one another. We are on this together, encouraging one another to give in to the care of Jesus in total surrender. And more importantly, we have God. He is with us and He is for us. So if you are struggling to surrender, I have good news for you. God uses our struggles, our failures, our pain to a point where we are too desperate to hide, too humble to judge, too weak to solo, and too needy to skip. Then, and perhaps only then, we will be ready to throw ourselves into the strong arms of our Heavenly Father who cares for us. And to pray like Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. To come this message to a conclusion, as Jesus promised, Peter would never be the same. After the resurrection, Peter would find himself in a very similar situation. After a night of trying without success to catch some fish, Jesus would ask the disciples to throw the net to find some. And another miraculous catch of fish followed. But this time Peter would give a different response. He would jump into the water, swimming, trying to encounter Jesus. The one who was once afraid is now driven by love and confidence in Christ. And you can find this story in John chapter 21, the end of the Jesus ministry. And if you compare John 21 with Luke 5, you're just going to find some interesting similarities and this difference in particular. So I want to end this message with the third step prayer. And this is just going to be our final prayer. May this be your prayer today. God, I offer myself to you to build with me and to do with me as you will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do your will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of your power, your love, and your way of life. May I do your will always. Amen.